Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Paul Listnick, Behind the Curtain. It's my opportunity to step away from the worlds of politics and law you watch me cover every day on television and into the world of theater and magic and the stage, which is arguably more interesting for most of us. And so I'm going to be talking about a great new current phenomenal magic show that's going on in the Rhapsody Theater. You've seen me talk to Dr. Ricardo Rosenkrantz before and others who performed at Rhapsody, one of my favorite magic venues in the city. But performing there now is a quite internationally acclaimed magician who brings a show different from any I've seen for a magic performance or an illusion performance to the stage. David Williamson joins us. He's home for a little spell now outside of Chicago. He'll be back shortly, but he's at the Rhapsody Theater through June 30th. David, your show is amazing.
Thank you. Hi, Paul. How are you?
I am good. And it may be amazing. I was going to say your show is ridiculous, which is the it name is of the show. But indeed, that wouldn't have sounded like I was being nice. So the truth is,
I'll take it. You know, I don't see ridiculous as a pejorative. I embrace the word. In fact, that's kind of my life has been a bit ridiculous. And that's what we put up on stage. We try to.
What I love about your background, it will explain a lot of what you do. Your work as a magician, which, of course, has been going on for decades in your life. I mean, it's about Disney cruises. It's about the Magic Cat, right? You've been sort of everywhere. And a lot of that brings you in touch with young people. And there's that flavor in the show.
Yeah. You know, I started, I've been doing magic since I was a kid. I have the same story every young magician has. I got a magic set when I was a kid. And I was fascinated with the art form. And as I grew up within the world of magic, I traveled around as a young man to magic festivals and to meet professional magicians. I couldn't wrap my head around, how does one do this for a life? What is everybody Houdini and David Copperfield? And it turns out, no, most of my heroes are, I call them blue collar entertainers. They're showmen. I call them American hucksters. They're guys who work the county fairs, maybe, or they work a car trade show, or they'll work, a blue and gold banquet or something like that.
Or the circus back in 1903.
I'm sorry?
Or the circus back in 1903.
That's right. They might be a ringmaster of a circus. Yes, exactly. So these are my heroes, I wouldn't say second tier, but less well-known entertainers, still doing amazing magic, hilarious comedy, original material, but you won't have seen them as much in the public eye because they didn't, they don't have the glitz, let's say. And these were my heroes growing up, people like Carol Fox from Detroit and Jay Marshall from Chicago, who was a wonderful vaudevillian magician, ventriloquist, and an institution in magic.
So, by the way, you mentioned, here's what I love about this. I've been doing the podcast for several years now. And so while I've always loved magic, I now see more magic over the last period of years than I ever have. So names like Eugene Berger, who you mentioned, are names I would not have known, a few years ago or a period of years ago. But now we come to realize the importance of these people. And I'm sure, and you know it, Chicago is the home of close-up magic, right? I mean, but it actually started here a long time ago, as I understand it. So you kind of come home to an important magical place when you're in Chicago.
Chicago is a very special place when it comes to this style of magic, close-up magic, sleight of hand. Again, these ridiculous men doing crazy feats of magic close-up right under your nose. And that's what I fell in love with as a kid. And I met many of the Chicago magicians in my travels, some of the greats, Johnny Thompson, and like I said, Jay Marshall, Matt Shulin, and Eugene Berger, who was a big inspiration for many people.
Do you also, like, now, for example, while you're in Chicago on the days maybe you're not performing, do you go and see like Dennis Watkins over at the Magic or the Chicago Magic Lounge? And
Absolutely. They're all friends and we all hobnob with one another. That's the great thing about the world of magic. It's a very kind of fraternal, very close-knit community. And we all, if you're crazy enough to do magic for a living, we all kind of know each other and we know how tough it is. So we support each other and we're all very friendly.
I mentioned that your show is very different from anything I've seen. And one of the reasons I say that is because while most magicians, or I don't even know what phrase to use, illusionists, and I know you were part of the illusionists on Broadway, so I don't. Do you have a let me just ask, do you have a preferred phrase? Well, how do you call
No,
yourself? You're
I
all of it.
don't. Yeah, magician is fine. That's a catch-all phrase. I don't
Okay.
consider myself an illusionist. When I think of illusionist, I think of large-scale stage props. Even though I have done those in my corporate days, I presented large illusions, but usually with a comic bent.
Well, one of the reasons I say that I think your show is different from whatever I've seen is because many shows, I haven't ever seen a magic show that doesn't appeal to young people because magic is magic. But you do it in a way that I have not seen other people do it. Like if I was a magician, when I was pulling people out of the audience to help me, the last people I would pick would be young people, for a whole host of reasons, not the
No,
least of which
you know,
is.
you're not alone. There are many magicians I know who feel the same way.
But you
They're
play
afraid of
with it. It
magicians.
is critical for what you do.
Well, I grew up doing birthday parties and little street fairs in Xenia, Ohio, and I grew up entertaining kids. That's how we kind of get our start. That's the path there. And then you graduate onto, working for adults and I did that for years. For decades I was made my living doing corporate events. Mostly, after a while, it becomes, when you have these jaded, insurance executives who've seen everything and they're a bit precious. It's refreshing. When I went on my first Disney cruise line and worked for families, and that's the distinction. People say you're a wonderful children's entertainer, and I don't consider myself a children's entertainer. I work for families because what I'm attempting to do is entertain the adults through the children. I want to hit everybody, the teenagers, grandpa, the parents. The kids are thoroughly entertained along the way because I'm a very silly individual, but the idea is to include everyone. So
It
I learned that
also.
on the Disney ships. I did 10 years on the Disney Cruise Line, and I absolutely loved it. After doing 20 years of corporate entertaining for spoiled bankers and executives, and business people, it was refreshing to be in front of a family audience who, maybe that was a huge savings to go on a Disney cruise. They were excited about every moment. They weren't jaded. They weren't bored. They weren't, and they were very happy to be there. So it was a wonderful change to my career and a way to look at what I do.
And with the night I saw you, by the way, all the young people, and they, I think they range kind of from age 5 up into their teens. So you really were working with a very young group, which I think is a dangerous thing to do. For not in an
It
evil
can
way,
be, I
just
can,
in.
but I embrace the challenge. I did, as you said, I was on the Illusionist tour, and I'm the ringmaster for Circus 1903. That started in 2016 in Australia and toured the world. Over the years, I've had thousands of children on stage, and anything you think could happen has happened.
I
But
love
you
it.
learn how to roll with it and turn it into a piece of entertainment.
One of the things I think this is where you're smart to do what you do, among other reasons, but I would think that maybe not a corporate event, everybody's, maybe drunk, I don't know, but doing these events which have a lot of adults, because of some of the things you do, and I'm going to make an assumption that some of those illusions or those magic tricks sort of show up in a variety of places. You do some things in the show, I'm trying not to give anything away, where if I was an adult who wasn't there with a kid, and you did it to me on stage, maybe involving a plate of whipped cream or something. There might be something where you might get somebody angry, and you're dealing with that. Whereas when you're with a kid, they can't. In fact, they're so used to that stuff, they don't want to be angry.
Absolutely, yeah. But yes, the whipped cream trick I don't do with adults. I do with kids. It was a designed it was the a kid hitting his dad in the face with a whipped cream pie is a dream for most
Well, you
kids.
gave it away, not me.
I did, yeah. I'll go ahead and give it away. But it's such a joyous moment. Everybody understands how that kid is so excited by the idea that he might be able to hit his dad with it. Everybody can relate to that moment.
By the way, just as a, have you ever had somebody sort of where it kind of goes wrong and they get angry at you and you have to deal with it? I hope not. Or does it?
Well, some people aren't happy, but I've always been able to walk away from my show without a lawsuit. And with a handshake and so forth, but no, I haven't had any angry contestants
That's
yet.
good because it's all in
Audience
great
members.
fun. I actually even noticed towards your again, not getting things away on my end, but in one of the final things you do where you invite three adults up on the stage, you didn't pick me, but three adults up on the stage and you ask them to do some version of disrobing. We'll just put that out there. And there was a particular guy who was, it was among the group, who had this sort of, you know, face, like he didn't know what to do with it or whether you were serious, but you were serious. But the bottom line is, as the moment went on, he was happy. He was great. I mean, it's just all, once they kind of catch on to what has to go on, they're yours.
Yeah, you know, hopefully everybody catches the spirit that this is a ridiculous show. This is a, inside this theater is a safe space, and we're here to have a good time and have fun. And hopefully everybody catches the spirit. And it's never intended to make anybody feel bad or embarrassed, you know.
Also there, and here's where this is also brilliant in terms of what you do. There are things in the show that seem like they didn't go right, or you didn't get the result you were looking at. But the truth is, the way you play it, in the end, I turned to my partner. I'm like, I think he meant for that to happen. And sometimes it's not your fault. It's the fault of somebody you pulled up, but it looks like something has gone wrong. So I'll ask you the question. Do things go wrong, or is that the magic you create? We just think it has.
Well, you hope that as a, you know, longtime professional, you've thought of every contingency, but yes, things do go wrong. And I, you know, in the industry, I'm kind of known as a person who will kind of walk the edge of, you know, chaos and anarchy and a scripted show. And I invite and hope for moments that are unscripted and maybe haven't happened before on stage, because I want authenticity. I want people to feel like this event that they experienced, my show, isn't going to happen the same way tomorrow night with a different audience. You know, that's the thing.
There are moments where anything
could happen, and hopefully there's a resolution.
Which means those moments where we see you laughing, because I love those moments in TV shows where they're bloopers, you know, and somebody breaks up. But I'm guessing when you're laughing, you are laughing.
You know, my show is, it's not theatrical. It's theatrical in that it isn't a theater, but it's basically a, I don't know what you would call it, a fun romp through clowning and magic, I suppose, and a participatory, event.
I don't know if you grew up in Ohio or what connection you had growing up, but assuming you are familiar with the world famous Bozo the Clown show that came here from
Chicago. Of course I am. Yes, I've been in the WGN studios several times, but I grew up watching Bozo. I loved him.
As we all did. And by the way, as you know, WGN is my home. So I walk by the Bozo studio every day. And but my point is that when I watched your show, for me, it was reminiscent of the fun Bozo days when they had magicians on, but also the comedy. Are you aware that people, at least in Chicago or in other who know Bozo, are going to make that connection? Or is that, are you surprised?
I hope so, because that's what I grew up watching, that sort of entertainment too. Bozo was a perfect example. It was an early example of the kind of entertainer that eventually I would hope to become, you know, somebody who was safe and fun and family friendly, but also a little bit chaotic.
There's a performer named Frank Ferranti. I don't know if you know Frank. He's well known for his work as Groucho Marx around the country. But in his early days, he was Clippo the Clown. And his daughter is now a stand-up comedian. And I tell him this all the time. Her line all the time is to say, I grew up, my father was a clown for a living, and my mother is divorced.
Well, it's reminiscent of Nate Bargatze, the famous comic now. His dad is a friend of mine, Steve Bargatze, who's a comedy magician and was a clown also. So, yeah, it kind of runs in families. Well,
and it does. And when you think about it, you know, my mom's divorced. So the question is, like, in your family world, or people surround you, like, do they expect you to be? You're funny and you're goofy all the time. Or is there a very different David they get when you're sitting at the Memorial Day barbecue?
I mean, yesterday my wife had me planting trees and pulling weeds, and it wasn't funny. It was sweaty and hot.
And you couldn't just make them disappear.
No, I wish I could.
Well, when you travel, you also have some very large pieces on your set. So as you travel, is that like an issue for you? I'm assuming those pieces have to go where you go.
Well, you know, this is the first time. Usually when I travel, those pieces are sent ahead with you know, when I work on different tours, the Circus 1903 is a very large show that Cirque du Soleil owns. And the Illusion is the same thing with large scale props.
Yeah, but
and
this is your stuff, I think.
Yeah, I travel with a suitcase and everybody else provides the props. But on this show, I actually built these props here in Ohio in my farmhouse. And and hauled it up on a U-Haul trailer. It was the biggest show I put on by myself. So I'm very happy that I was able to present some of the things from Circus 1903, some of the things I did created for The Illusionist, some of the routines I created for the Disney Cruise Line, all together in one show for, the public.
Because that my first, again, without giving things away, you have one set piece, which involves, we'll just say it involves numbers, 1, 2, and 3. It involves letters, so you know what I'm talking about. And I just thought, how the heck did he get that thing up here? But it is many pieces, I assume, that you have to assemble when you get here, yeah?
Yeah, no, I just I mean, I had a big U-Haul truck that I drove from Ohio to Chicago.
Wow. Talk to me about being at the, I think this is your first time at the Rhapsody Theater, is
This
that
is my
right?
first time at the Rhapsody. It's such a beautiful theater and a perfect venue for watching magic shows. And I know that Ricardo, Dr. Rosencrantz, the physician magician, I saw his show when I first arrived, and he makes wonderful use of this space. And he's had other magicians and storytellers and performers come to use this space. And it's become, I think it used to be back in the day when it was Morse Theater, a music venue.
That's right.
And they still have music on Monday nights, but it's a fantastic magic venue. And he keeps inviting people like me and other wonderful magicians. And I think it's fantastic for Chicago to
I
be able
so
to see
received.
these performers who you wouldn't normally get a chance to see.
Yeah, I fell in love with him and the theater when I first went there, which I think is probably around when he first opened. But as you said, he wants to build this as a home for magic. There are other homes for magic in the city, but as they say over the loudspeaker system before things begin, we've gone to prove you don't have to go to the loop in order to get great entertainment. How would you describe the audiences that versus a Disney cruise versus, and maybe there's more similarities than I realize, but or versus a Broadway tour, you're in an intimate space. It's big, but it's still intimate.
It is. It's a wonderful space, and it feels very intimate. I just love the proportions. It reminds me of some of the smaller vaudeville houses and opera houses and so forth throughout the Midwest. It's not overly huge. It's not a giant arena. It's a very intimate, lovely little jewel box theater, and the audiences seem like, because they're so tight knit, and you have little cocktail tables. It's not theater seating, and the people are ordering food during the performance. I just love the whole sort of cabaret feel of the place, and I
By
think
the way,
I feel like everybody gets in the mood, and I love the Chicago audiences. I'm a Midwesterner myself, and I just feel there's so much friendliness with everyone. That's why I love to walk around before the show and do sleight of hand at the tables and do a little close-up magic just to say hello to the folks who've come, thank them for coming, and do a little magic just to set the mood right away.
well, I was going to ask you about that. First, let me also say kudos on the food because the Ricardo has added the pizza from next door, which is new. I had a couple of those, and he added in these cookies. Have you tried the cookies? They're like right out
No,
of the
I'm not
oven.
allowed. My wife won't. Well, she doesn't know, but I'm going to try a cookie before I leave.
Please do because they're like, yeah, they're amazing. So I know he's building up that aspect of it too, which is important because you might as, it becomes a whole evening in terms of even the dinner. But I
That's
did
right.
notice you did come out ahead of time. I did come up and say hi to you, but I didn't want to bother you because I know you were, I was sort of going to ask, is it about just saying, hey, I'm a nice guy, I'm going to say hi, or are you feeling the crowd a little bit when you go to the tables?
A little bit of both. I just want them to know that I'm not, because it is a show about participation. You'll notice that every moment there's somebody from the audience on stage. And that's what the show's about. And that's what my career has been about. It's been about having fun with people on stage, getting to know them, the audience gets to know them, turning them into the stars of the show. It's not necessarily about me. It's about all of us having this experience together and creating moments together. So I want them to know that I'm a safe and normal person, and I'm not going to bring people on stage to abuse or embarrass them. So it's important for me to meet them ahead of time.
And by the way, you do acknowledge those people. I'm not going to say how, but you acknowledge them at the end, really showing it's a cast of many who make up
It
the
is.
show, and very cleverly done, as people will see when they see the show again through June 30th over at Rhapsody Theater. By the way, there was something that it's relatively new that you did. I didn't know you were going to do it, and I wasn't able to stay for it. But there's now a bit, and I know not every magician does it, but a little post-show thing. It's a little bit of a, for me, reminiscent of what goes on at the Chicago Magic Lounge, where they have the, what is it, 643 Club? I
654
think
Club.
that's it.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
When I worked the Magic Castle years, I mean, I still go to the Magic House in Hollywood, they're famous for the different venues. They have the close-up room, and they have the parlor, which is this larger venue, and then they have the stage, the palace. And I started as a close-up magician. I started as a busker, working tables in restaurants for tips. They used to call us table hoppers. And I just love it. That's my favorite form of the art, is the close-up magic. And Ricardo has created, there's a bar area upstairs, a very intimate space. In fact, he's dedicating the space to Eugene Berger, who is a famous close-up magician from Chicago and a friend to many. We actually have his table, Eugene's table, up there.
Oh, it's
So
an actual
after
table?
the show, yeah, that's Eugene's table.
Wow.
Yeah. And so after the show, we invite the audience to come upstairs and see another 30 minutes of sleight of hand, a little close-up magic, very intimate performance, because I love to do it and I was excited about the opportunity. And I don't often get a chance to do that anymore because most of my work is on stage. So it's just joy for me to be able to do that.
And I'm going to say kudos to Ricardo Rosencrantz on that, because there are other places that perform magic, and when you go off to a separate sort of space, it's like if you pay the extra money. And for you, it's like, no, come join us. Just come on, join us, and have some other a different kind of experience upstairs. Was that
Yeah.
also? I wasn't able to stay for it, but was that also very kid friendly?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But it might be a little more sophisticated. I mean, a 5-year-old might be a little bored. There's a lot of card tricks and there's some, it's not unfriendly to kids. Let me put it that way.
When you're up there, do you have a preference in terms of doing the larger things, or when you get to the table magic in the Eugene Berger room up there, do you sort of say, "Oh no, I like this better"?
I love it all. I love it all. I just 3 weeks ago, I was on stage at the Kennedy Center with The Illusionists, and there's nothing like being in a theater like that that seats 3,000 people and hearing the laughter just roll over you and the applause and so forth. And being in that large production show, it's just I've never had it. It's a rare experience, and I love it. But to be able to sit down with a few people and see their faces and have them participate in close-up magic, there's nothing like that either. So I love every aspect of it, I have to say.
By the way, kudos to you. I know you were recently given an award by the Magic Castle folks, whatever, maybe it's a few years back that you got it, but it's still worth noting, because that seems to be a pretty prestigious thing to get.
Well, it's very nice. Like I said, it's very very small community. We love to give each other awards, so it was probably my turn. I've lived long enough. They go, let's give one to Dave. So
Well, did you, you say that, and you are right. Many magicians who I know started off with the kid, with the magic kit as a kid, or somebody's father was a magician, or whatever it may be. And I'm an avid watcher of Fool Us, so I watch all that stuff as well. In fact, Ricardo took me backstage to say hi to, actually up to his dressing room, say hi to Teller for a pre-show one night for a long time, which was so cool. But that being said, when you were little, I mean, did your folks expect that you were going to be David the doctor, David the lawyer?
My dad was a farmer and a factory worker. And when he realized I could make a living and travel the world doing card tricks, he was so happy. He said, if you don't have to work as hard as I do and still make a living, that's wonderful. No, my parents were very supportive, but yes, they were a little concerned. Of course, they were concerned. But my mother was kind of a hippie mom, and she used to put me on Greyhound buses to Michigan Magic Convention or to St. Louis or to and you know and trust that the people at the other end would pick me up and take care of me. And this was in the 70s, and it was a different time. I would never dream of doing that with my child these days, but it's hard to imagine. But I did. I was gallivanting around the country as a teenager, meeting magicians, going to magic festivals. I've been in the world of magic since a very young age, and it's all consuming for me.
Well, and by the way, has Fool Us been on your in your resume anywhere yet?
They've asked me ever since the first series, the first season,
Season.
they've asked me 3 times and I declined.
Oh, now I've got. Look, come on, let's make news. It's the podcast. Why?
Well, I love Penn and Teller. I'm a huge fan of theirs. I just think they're brilliant. I love all the magicians who go on the show, and it's a fantastic opportunity for them to get a bit of tape, right? I do. And I think it's a fantastic, and I think it's the one TV show now. Magic ebbs and flows in the public consciousness. It's keeping magic in people's minds and so forth. I wish it were a contest or a game show or a reality show where, Penn has to kind of hint at how he thinks it's done. So it boils down to you get a thumbs up or thumbs down. I understand. I get it. That's the way they had to sell the show. The network wouldn't buy a show that was just presenting magic. They needed some sort of reality aspect, the thumbs up, thumbs down. But I've seen wonderful magicians go up there and get a thumbs down because Teller happens to know how it was done. So the American public goes, oh, they must be not be that good. And then I've seen amateur magicians go on there and get a thumbs up because there was some method that they used that Penn and Teller didn't quite get right or something. So they advance and they're thumbs up, whereas the artistic professional who's been doing it all his life and studying and deserves accolades got a thumbs down, and that's what the public sees. So I love Penn and Teller. I love the magicians who go on there. I think it's great for all of them. I don't know if it's so good for it's
Well,
the public
as
to
somebody who's a
do
as a
magic in those terms.
I'll just say this in their defense, which
No,
is
you don't have to defend. I'll defend them myself as
yeah.
well.
No, what I mean is that, yeah, I've never seen them actually put it in, but even when I watch somebody and think, oh, that's not very good, but their pen is always incredibly respectful and polite,
Oh,
finding
no, that
a nice
wasn't my point.
way to say how, yeah.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. That wasn't my point. Penn is there's gentlemen, and they've never made anybody feel bad about. I'm talking about they win or lose, depending on if they fooled
If
them
they
or
put, that's
not.
correct. That's
And
right.
they've turned it into a game show, a contest.
Right.
And, I guess it's fair because they do the same thing with singers and so forth on, and other things. But that's just the way American television is now. And that's the way the variety arts are being displayed to the public as a competition of
Yeah,
sorts.
fair enough.
Even though they do everything in their power to make it not feel so much. Plus, I don't like watching myself on TV. That's the other thing.
Well, I like watching it. And by the way, just a
It's a
little,
fantastic show. I mean,
yeah, no, it's in season 10 or 11, whatever they're on, so they're doing something right. You mentioned you were just in Australia, and I recently talked to an Australian magician, illusionist, and card cheater named Harry Mylis. I don't know if you know Harry, but
I
he
know
was
Harry very well. I was just with him in Australia. We played the Sydney Opera House with Circus 1903, and Harry was 900 feet away doing his private show in one of the pillars of the bridge there over Sydney Harbour.
Yeah, I love. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, he was here in a very intimate space, only 30, 35 people a show, and he was doing the card cheating stuff. But the reason I bring him up is because I wanted to ask you. Harry said, look, when it comes to card cheating, I want people to know how I do it because that's the point. When it comes to the magic part of my show, I don't want people to know what I'm doing because it would. So, it sounds like you will agree with that. But B, I've had other magicians tell me if you knew how we did what we do, you'd be really disappointed.
It's true. It's true. People think they want to know how it's done, but it's, when you give somebody the gift of astonishment, I consider it giving them a gift. I used to teach a magic class on the Disney Cruise Line to the kids. It was my favorite part of the week. We'd have 300, 400 kids packed into a little theater, and I do a little show, but I teach them some easy tricks they could do and encourage them to take up magic as a hobby because there are so many beneficial things in magic, whether it's applied psychology, it's self-esteem building, it's a little bit of science. There's some, dramatic arts and public speaking. All these wonderful things are included in the art of magic. Anyway, I tell them when you do a magic trick for somebody, you're giving them the gift of astonishment. When you tell them how it's done, it's as if you're taking that gift away because it's ultimately usually disappointing when you realize how simple some of these things are. Even though it takes a lot of work and a practice to make it look like magic. But when the
Is there?
secret can be boiled down to a simple principle, in a few words, it can be disappointing for people. And I'd rather not have them give
So
them that
if you're watching
experience.
another magician or somebody whatever, most of them, but anyway, and they do something you find astounding, do you guys trade secrets or is it like, hey, good for you? I wish I knew how to do it, but I don't. I mean,
A little bit of both, a little bit of both. Magicians are very, very, very giving and sharing. All of my friends are. In fact, there's going to be a magic kind of symposium at the Rhapsody Theater this weekend. Even though we're doing some shows, Ricardo's doing his show for the public, and I'll do one performance this weekend coming up, continue the regular performances the week after. But there's magicians coming from around the country for a little symposium where we'll be doing lectures, talking
wow.
about the craft, sharing and teaching. And yeah, there's a lot of that in magic.
Is that for the public, by the way, or is that like a magician's
No,
only
that'll
thing?
be kind of a closed thing for the society.
So if I
You have
sneak
to
in, I learn
register
a lot.
before it. And I'm sorry.
If I sneak in, I learn a lot.
If you sneak in, you come in as the cookie vendor or something like that.
Yes, that'll be. I will have warm cookies to serve. If only Ricardo
You'll
didn't
be
know me.
welcome. You bring cookies and you'll be welcome.
I love it. So, just when you come to Chicago, by the way, when you are here, I'm sort of curious. I know for this holiday weekend, you've headed back to your home, but what do you do? Architectural boat rides? What do you do while you're here if you have any
Not
free
yet,
time?
but I'm going to. I love, oh my gosh, I just love this city so much. I go to museums. I go to restaurants. I go to some of the other magic venues, as you mentioned, and hang out with friends. I go to Navy Pier. I go to Millennial Park. I love the city, and I just love walking around in the neighborhoods.
I
And
hope you get to
yeah.
see theater at night. I'm all about a proponent of theater.
Say again.
I hope you see some of the theater here at night. Jason Alexander at the Shakespeare at Navy Pier and all that.
Oh yeah, I was just, yes, absolutely. I'm going to try to see Jason, and I'm going to try to see some of the other shows that are in town.
I
I
hope
love it.
so. Well, what you do is just amazing. And again, your show is at the Rhapsody Theater through June 30th. What an amazing venue. And so glad you're there. I mean, it's just such a great stage. There's also magic things that happen on the curtain and stuff, but that may be with other magicians. By the way, did Ricardo kind of give you a tour and show you some of the little secret things that are around there?
He did, yeah. There's some amazing things happening in that theater, separate from the show, you know.
Yeah, I love it. People can get tickets at rhapsodytheater.com. Theater is spelled TER, not the TRE British way. I kind of love the TRE thing, but that's me.
I
So
know.
it's rhapsodytheater.com. And David Williamson, as I said, your work is just, it's unique. I hate when people say very unique because that's not a thing. That's a
It's
redundant
not a
statement.
thing. Yeah. Too many
Yeah,
words.
your work is unique. And anybody that's got family and kids, and here's the thing, my kids are in their 20s, whatever. So, when I saw the little kids, they went, uh-oh, what's it? It's enjoyable. It doesn't matter if you're young or old, you're just going to have a great time. And boy, you know how
It's
to work with an
yeah,
audience.
and just to make the point, thank you so much. I really appreciate you coming and seeing the show. It's not just for kids. It's not a kiddie show. It's date
Exactly.
night. It's adults. It's for everyone. That's the whole point. Yeah.
Right. And I should also warn, here's the thing. I do have one other question. You do pick a lot of people from the audience, but I have a feeling you can read. Like if there's somebody who you kind of know, like they don't want to be called on whatever, they don't want to go. Have you learned all these through these decades,
I
like how
have, yeah. I've
those
been doing
people
this
would
a
be?
long time. You can judge sometimes.
Yeah. When
I
you
like
pick
to invite people on stage. I don't pick them. I invite them, and if they decline the invitation, that's perfectly all right.
Well, nobody declined your invitation the night I saw you. And again, you're
They
so much
usually
fun.
don't. They usually don't.
You have so much fun. Had you invited me, I would have gone. I just want you to know.
Oh.
But anyway, people can see it through the end of the month. RhapsodyTheater.com. David Williamson, you are an amazing talent, an incredibly accomplished magician. And I sure appreciate your spending a little time with me. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. Hope to see you again. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.